is coming. If we start this evening, we'll start off by singing the hymn, "It Was Down at the Feet of Jesus, with a happy, happy day that my soul found peace in believing and my sins were washed away." Amen. Let's stand while we sing our own hymn.
It was down at the feet of Jesus, oh, the happy, happy day. And I soul find peace and relief, my sins were washed away. Oh, let me tell the old story of His grace.
Sons of Zion. I'm not sure if that's the first line for the first verse or the first line of a different verse, but you may take your seats, praise God.
The Lord has given a land of good things, and bless it and make a mind, and through His power I know His glory. I love to the victory side. My name.
officer to come. Let us sing that hymn. We've just been singing it lately. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Let's stand our feet again while we sing it.
See my own children coming in, serving the Lord, and getting a real experience with God. Let us turn to Matthew 27, verse 3 to 4, and I greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're continuing on the chemistry of the blood, and tonight I want to look just briefly at innocent blood. I won't try and hold you too long. I didn't say a lot of things this morning that I planned on saying. Probably got to preaching too much then. Took too much time up. Praise God. But look, the Lord knows everything. Praise God. Let's read from verse 3 and verse 4 of Matthew 27. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. Let's bow our heads again tonight, and we want to still pray for Jenny's dad this evening and others that's been mentioned and prayed for. And please pray for my children that God will move on them. My Hannah as well, she's overdue, going by their times. If the wee one come and pray, all will be well. And that God will have his way. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you tonight. We reverence your name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we humbly come and we say, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Lord, we plead the merits of your blood, the life of that blood of Jesus Christ, to come upon all that's near and dear to us and everyone that would be in hearts tonight, in this room, relatives, relations that need your touch. Father, you know all those we've mentioned, Ian and Lord Allen and others this evening that need your touch of healing on the bodies. Brother Andrew, that you would touch them and minister unto them at this time. In the name of Jesus Christ. For the backsliders, restore them and renew them, we pray. Lord, so many of us have children tonight and relatives tonight that are still not saved. Oh Lord, our hearts desires to see them saved. We would ask for the Holy Spirit to move on them, and we claim them by faith under that precious blood of the Lamb tonight. Save them, we pray. Speak to them, we pray. Move upon them, we pray, and bind every work of the devil, every stronghold of the enemy we come against tonight, and we pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit, and I take the Holy Ghost afresh right now. And I thank you for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray for all the nurses, all the doctors, bless them, strengthen them for the work they do. We appreciate them. We pray for your own people, Israel. Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll bless them and hedge them in. We pray for that young man's family that was of the murder of that young man in England. We ask for the family circle for strength, for comfort, for grace. We pray, God, you'll raise up a gospel standard again in England. Lord, that you'll put backbone in men and women to stand for the truth and honor your word, Lord Jesus. You said, those that honor me, I will honor them. Help us all this evening to serve you as we acknowledge you in all our ways, praying and knowing that you'll direct our paths. Touch people tonight that need your touch physically, mentally, spiritually. Lord, have your way, we pray, and all that the enemy's meant for bad, we pray for good in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Judas Iscariot betrayed innocent blood. Innocent blood. And you know that a prophet at the end time said that Satan is the god of this evil age. And he said that Satan is not known as the god of any other age, but this age, he is the god of this evil age. And we know we're living in an age where bitter is called sweet and sweet's called bitter. And they don't want that which is right, but they seem to want that which is wrong. That's the age we're living in. It's Laodicea. Laodicea means people's rights, where people say, I will do my own thing. Nobody will tell me what to do, but yet the Bible says they're wretched, blind, miserable, and poor. And God has sent the oil and the wine of stimulation, but many don't want it, but it is available. And here also God's prophet said, when Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus, that there was a fourth tree. We know there was three trees, but he said there was a fourth tree. Because Judas hanged on a tree. He hanged on a tree. He betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And he hanged on a tree. And the people said, release Barabbas and crucify Jesus. Thus exalting Satan to the god of this evil age. And they turned down the Prince of Glory. The Lord himself they turned down. And out of all the miracles and all the things that we've already mentioned in previous messages about Calvary and all them things, yet with all, they gnashed on the Lord with their teeth. Yes. And I tell you today, there is a hatred in the world today for the real Christian. For the real believer, there is a hatred more than ever before. And we used to say years ago, all people in this age are not martyred like they used to be. Well, you can forget about that tonight. We're now in an age again where Christians will be, and they're going to be martyred for the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's how evil the day we're living in today. And the wrong things getting in, and the wrong things promoted. And they don't even want to be identified, some people, as male or female, what God created. But they are confused. And God says he'll send them strong delusions. That's the age we're in. But the blood of Jesus Christ was innocent blood. Innocent blood. He become like unto us in all things, except in sin. He was like us in the physical, in all things except he had no sin. Like and on, like except the one exception. The exception was, instead of a human father, God was his father. Every one of us that's born of a woman have a human father. We have a man that we can call our father. He is our human father. We can't, and we did not come here without him. But the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ is Almighty God. And the idea that some people don't believe Jesus has a father, that he's his own father, well, I don't believe that. I believe that Jesus has a father, and he is God. I believe that. You believe that? I believe it with all my heart that he has a father, and his father is God. Now, we know that he was God in flesh. We know all that. But that does not change the fact that he is a father, and the Bible proves he has. Likened unto us, except his father is divine, a divine father. Do you believe that tonight? God's divine. God is divine. As a result, biologically, he has divine blood. Because he has a divine father, he has divine blood. And not only has he divine blood, but he has sinless blood. Divine blood and sinless blood. And you know that God, being a spirit, doesn't have blood. But God created the blood. It is the creative blood of God that was in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is God's blood. That's why it's God's blood. And I tell you, it's maybe a mystery, but it's true all the same. Romans 15 and 6 says, that ye may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says Jesus has a father. Now his father wasn't Joseph. And Joseph was going to put Mary away because Mary was fine with child. They were betrothed. That's perhaps like an engagement, that they were ready and given the word to get married and so forth. And then Joseph found Mary's with child and he's going to put her away. But the angel of the Lord appears to him. And the angel of the Lord explains to him what's happened. That Mary has not been with the man still. That even after Jesus Christ is born, Mary is still the Virgin Mary. Because you've still not been with the man. Now that's a mystery. That is something that the Bible talks about. Right in the Old Testament. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. Matthew 1 verse 18 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So Joseph never knew her. Now I know there's a lot of not politicians, there's a lot of comedians. There's a lot of people in the world today and on sites and places. And they laugh at this and they mock this. But I want you to know this is a secret thing. This is a secret thing. This is the strength of the gospel message. That Christ was virgin born. This is absolutely a fundamental Bible truth that you cannot brush aside or ignore. It is a truth that we believe and stand for. And I'll tell you, Mary was blessed above all women. She is blessed. And there's nothing wrong with having a reverence for Mary, that she was blessed because God said she was blessed. But we saw on Thursday night she had to be there in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, just like the rest of them, to receive the Holy Spirit, even though she was used of God to give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 1, verse 30 to 35. Now I know we know all these things, but we're getting reminded and it'll do us good. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, saying, I know not a man? So Mary is saying to the angel, I've never known a man. How can this be possible? Verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Son of God. Now I'll tell you, there's a lot of religions today, and they misuse this phrase. And there's a lot of people misuse it, because if you get into a debate with them, if you get into a debate with them, they take these verses and they'll say, Are you a son of God? When you're not going to say no, I'm not. Because you are a son or a daughter of God. They'll say, There you are. Jesus was a son of God, we believe that. But they want to belittle Jesus. The problem is, you and me weren't virgin born. We were born sinners. We were born sinners. We had the death penalty on us from the word go. We inherited it. We never done one thing to deserve it, but we automatically inherited it. For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that's a judgment. That's the book of Romans. But Christ did not inherit a sinful nature. Christ did not inherit corrupted blood. But he was divine. He came divinely. He was God in flesh. The incarnation that was God with us. Isaiah 7 verse 14 says, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. What a sign. William Branham refers, you look this up, he refers to this sign so many times. Behold, the Lord will give you a sign, and he talks about the virgin birth so many times. C.H. Spurgeon, look it up. See how many times C.H. Spurgeon refers to the virgin birth. Show me any preacher God's used that doesn't, and you'll not be fit to. Because every single preacher really believed this truth, and they stood for it, and they defended it. But there's a bunch of wishy-washies today, and they're claiming there's other ways to heaven and all sorts of stuff. But I tell you, it's the virgin birth that made it possible for us to have that precious blood. As a result, biologically, he had divine blood, sinless blood. Because this blood is sinless, it is incorruptible. Incorruptible. Now, when you think this evening, and there was a fella I met one time, and he was a right smart fella, probably smarter than me, and I couldn't answer him. But the Holy Spirit gave me the answers. That's the only reason it's fit to work with. I wouldn't have had them my own self. And he said to me, Brother Tom, you're always talking about the blood, but he says flesh and blood can't enter the kingdom of God. I says, You're right. But I says, What do you do then with the book of Hebrews? Where the book of Hebrews says, as the earthly things are sprinkled by blood, so are the heavenly. Yeah. With a better sacrifice. And I tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ reached the whole way to heaven. And the reason flesh and blood couldn't enter heaven, it was sinful. But this blood is not sinful blood. This is divine blood, pure blood, unadulterated blood. It never comes forth with the normal way that it comes forth with a man and woman. But this was an act of God. A supernatural act. And his blood reached the whole way to heaven. And because his blood reached the whole way to heaven, we're going to heaven. We're going to go to heaven. Amen? And I'm going to tell you about that. These bodies are going to be changed before you go. You're going to be transformed. This corruption. Now, think of that wee word. This corruptible shall put on incorruptible. Because you see, the life of that blood's come on us. Now, we're waiting on the full redemption. How many knows that? We're waiting on the full result in these bodies still. Our sins are forgiven. We're born again. We believe all that. But we're waiting on the redemption of these bodies. We're waiting on a body change. And we are going to have a body change. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I tell you, we will never... but one day more older when we get to heaven. And you'll not be going to heaven with grey hair. Or something incomplete. Or an ailment or an injury. Any of those things. You will be turned back perfectly. Because the Bible says, like unto his own glorious body. That's what the blood of Christ and salvation means. Not just about being saved. But it's about going to heaven. It's about leaving this earth. Sin made the human blood corruptible, didn't it? Soon after death, decay sets in and it begins in the blood. That is why meat must be drained well of its blood. You should not eat meat that's full of blood. It should be drained of its blood. The Jews are right. Now I know the way it's done today. And that's the way most of our food is, but it's wrong. It's not the way it was done through the Bible. In the Bible times, they had the throat cut, the blood pumped out of the animal, and the blood was out of it. That's the Bible way. That's still the way the Jews have it. But what they do today, they hit it over the head with something and kill it. And it's not half bled. And it's still full of blood when you get it. How many knows that's the truth? Now, I know we can eat it. We can eat anything because we're living in the day of grace. I believe that. You can even eat an old pig because we're living in the day of grace. But I'm telling you what the Bible says. Blood is sacred. I'm going to talk about it in a moment. How many believe blood's sacred? The life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus 17. That's why the meat must be drained of blood. That is why embalmers place the embalming fluid in the blood. The psalmist David told us Jesus Christ's body would not see corruption. Acts 2, 31 and 32. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. Neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus of God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Now I'm thinking when I mentioned this embalming, and I used to have the video on it. I don't have it no more, but I used to have it. And if anybody's ever listened much of Reinhard Bonnke's stuff over the years, you'll have heard him talk about it. But there was a minister in Africa, I can't remember the part. He was driving a Mercedes car. He was a pastor, he was coming down a hill, the brakes failed, he hit a wall, and he died in the ambulance. His wife received a scripture from the book of Hebrews that the women had their dead raised by faith. And his wife on that scripture held to it, and she claimed and believed God. They took him to the mortuary or wherever they took them, and they embalmed his body, and they labeled his toe, the message on it. He was pronounced dead, everything. And his body was embalmed. Then his wife went to his father and said, Reinhard Bonnke's having a meeting at a certain part in Africa. I want to take my husband. And the father said, he's dead. And she says, no, but I'm going to take him. I believe God's going to do something. And with much to do and convincing, she got him. She went down to the mortuary. Can you imagine this woman coming into the mortuary? Give him a dead husband. So they put him in a coffin. And they wouldn't let him into the stadium. And they made them open the coffin and they searched it in case they're bringing in a bomb or something. And they didn't even let him into the main part. They let them go in under the basement. And Bunky was up on top preaching. And they were in under the basement. And this man was dead several days. Embalmed. And they began to pray. And he came alive. And when that man came alive and came back, you know, one of the first things he asked for, he said, where's my folder? And they said to him, what do you mean, where's your folder? And he said, where's my folder? He says, I viewed all of heaven. I went right round it and I had a folder, and he was taking notes where he was, and he had a folder, and he'd all marking it down what everything was, and he explained so many wonderful things. You'd say, I wouldn't believe that. Well, that's not important why you believe it or not. It happened. That's the thing about it. It's like the virgin birth. There's a lot of people don't believe it either, but it happened. And you see, the Lord Jesus will come and his bride will be caught away. And a lot of people will be left. And note they'll say, John's missing, Gary's missing. They'll say, I wouldn't believe it. And it'll not really matter if they believe it or not, because them people will be gone. All that's really part of that bride will be gone. And this world will continue on and there'll be tribulation, such as the world has not seen before. The Bible calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. But here I want to get back to this. Though he was 3 days, 3 nights in the grave, his body did not see corruption because he was sinless. Death had no claim on him. He willingly laid his life down that he might take it up again. John 10, verse 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received. Here it is again of my Father. Isn't that wonderful? I think that's beautiful. You think of the demons as assigned. You think of the demons that the devil has assigned. And when Jesus was led in that tomb, and the old Satan said to him, get you fellas working. Decay. Go you to working. Go to working straight away. And all them demons he assigned, decay, and all them different things that's part of death. And they went to working. And they come back to the devil and said, here, there's something wrong. This is not working the way it ought to work. The Bible says his body saw no corruption. Even though he was dead 3 days and 3 nights. And we saw a few weeks back why it was 3 days and 3 nights. There was a double Sabbath. I tell you, God makes no mistake in his Bible. And then, you know, you could even look at Joseph when he was sold. Somebody said the money doesn't count up, but then you see Joseph was sold more than once. So you had to check everything because it can't fail. Amen. And people are quick to jump the gun, but the Bible's right. Isn't it? It's God's true word. I wrote this wee poem down, or hymn down. Death cannot keep us prey, Jesus my Savior. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er the foe. He conquered death, and he conquered hell, and he conquered the grave. Now I want for a moment to talk about the sanctity of the blood. This is part of the very first commandment which God gave to man after the awful judgment of the flood with Noah, in Noah's time, the antediluvian dispensation, after the wickedness of man had reached its peak, and that in them antediluvian days, God, in order to spur the human race from complete corruption, sent a great flood upon the earth. We know that. And destroyed all man except one family. And that family, according to Genesis 6, verse 8, the Bible says, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah was saved, and his three son-in-laws and his three daughters were saved. They were preserved. Everyone else was wiped out. And you know how we saw that God preserved seven of a kind, the clean kind, and two of the unclean. Well, all them animals were preserved. And how that there was one extra, because there were sacrifices to be made. Blood had to be shed. God's divine law and God's divine way. After the wickedness of man had reached its peak, but Noah found this grace, and the human race was spurred. It was spurred, even though there's a flood came upon the earth, destroyed men, except for Noah and his family. You know, Noah was perfect in his generation. How many knows the Bible says that Noah was perfect in his generation? Because he obeyed God. Do you realize that's why he was perfect? He obeyed God. William Branham said, if God asks for perfection, he has to make a way for it. And he has through his blood. Isn't that something? Genesis 6, verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 9, verse 4, but the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, ye shall not eat it. So God right back in Genesis tells him, you cannot eat, you're not to use the blood. You can eat the flesh of the animal. Now we know the day with people going about shouting and roaring that you can't kill the cow and kill the lamb, and you know, you're not allowed to eat meat. And they don't want nobody eating meat. And then you see, you can find a wee scripture that it says doctrines of devils will come in the last days. That's what it says. Forbidden to marry and forbidden to eat meat. So you fellas can go ahead and get married. And use girls. Because that's the way God planned it. And you're going to have a steak as well. If you want one. And I've been trying them green things for a good lot of weeks now. Salads. Tomatoes. And I'm just about sick of them. Grass. One fella says I'm on the grass. To try and get the weight off. But you know, when you think of the diet the Lord had when he was here. Fish and bread. Now I know it must have been different bread than some of the garbage we're eating. And I worked in a bakery and I know some of the stuff goes in it. It's pure garbage. But there's real good bread as well. Amen? And you know Jesus Christ is likened to the bread that come down from heaven. He says, I am the bread that come down from heaven. So there is real good bread, I believe. And fish. Fish is proven to be good for you, isn't it? So, I don't know how, maybe we followed one of them programs, you know, like that. It would be good, wouldn't it? Fish and bread. We know the first real sin after the fall was murder, the shedding of blood, evil. Genesis 4, let me read you it. Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord God said unto Cain, where is thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? And the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And you know God had even mercy on old Cain. Even though Cain done the wrong thing, God still had mercy on Cain. What do you think of that? And he put a mark on him. Put a mark on Cain.
Yes.
so that nobody was to kill him. And you think of that. And there was the blood of Abel. Romans 12:24 says, unto Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, unto the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than Abel. And the bit that is amazing, God cursed the ground when man fell in the garden. How many understand that? Now the ground never had a thorn and it never had a thistle until God cursed it. And after God brought the curse, you never sweated either. Hear me this evening. You never had a sweat until the curse came. But after the curse, you sweated and the thorns came and the thistles came. And then you will earn your food or get your living by the sweat of your brow. That was after the curse. But before the curse, that wasn't the way. And yet withal, Cain slays Abel, his brother, and Abel's blood is spilt or shed and amongst the thorns, in amongst for the curses on the ground. And it speaks out of the ground, out of the place of the curse, from them thorns and thistles, it speaks out, and it speaks to God, and God hears it, and God answers it, and Abel's blood's crying for vengeance. Vengeance against Cain. But then we come up to the New Testament, and here we read in Hebrews, when the fullness of time was come, God sent His Son into the world. And that fullness of times, at the right time, at the appointed time, God sent Jesus Christ. And on the cross they put the thorns round His forehead, round His brow. And they beat the thorns into His brow. And them Jerusalem thorns, they're really long thorns. And they beat them into them with a rod. And the blood can stream down His face. And the wounds He had would have killed nearly any man. And the devil almost tried to kill Him at the whipping post. But He made it the whole way to Calvary. For He was appointed to the death of the cross. And I tell you, He cried from under them thorns. Abel cried for vengeance. But Jesus Christ cried, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do, from the thorns, from the blood, streaming down His face, cried out for forgiveness. Suffered on the cross, His blood speaks. Abel's blood cried out to God for vengeance from the cursed ground. And thank God, Jesus Christ, from the thorns, and the Savior's bride cried out. Now I know when my time's gone, there's the comparison in these two men, and there's the contrast. And I'm talking about the Lord Jesus and Abel. Both were shepherds. It is the cry of the shepherd's blood. And the shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. There's a comparison. But then there's a contrast. Abel was murdered against his will. Abel was not a willing sacrifice. Abel that day did not want to die, or did not know he was going to die. He was murdered. But Jesus Christ set His face as a flint to go up to Jerusalem, and He was willing, a willing sacrifice. He says, I have power to live a lifetime, and I have power to raise it up again. He willingly took your place and my place on the cross. Today we see the world full of sin and evil again, don't we? Now you might know it, but the march they had yesterday, that's evil. And the first thing that they put up on the internet was how Israel, the Israeli troops have killed a baby. There you are. And we know they've never killed nobody. Sure they haven't. They never took young women from their homes and done things to them that we couldn't even talk about. But the pot called the kettle black. And I tell you something, I didn't see nobody the day or hear of anybody the day at a sports festival kneeling with their t-shirt on and riding on the front of it and ignoring the heads over them, ignoring them all, and kneeling with it written on them, "White Lives Matter." For the young man that was murdered in England, that wasn't done today. But we know a few years ago, like we say here, they milked it. When a man that they didn't know in America, and he had not a good history. Now what's wrong would happen, but his history was bad. He was guilty of many things, but the world was in an uproar. And all the celebrities and all those had a voice that could be heard by many in the world, let it be heard. They wore their t-shirts, they bent their knee, and they got everybody else to follow. But absolute silence today. Now, that mightn't be important to some people, but it is important because some mother and father today is without a son. But then I want you to think of the Lord Jesus Christ. What type of a cry was made out for him? The innocent crucified for the guilty. We're living in the last days. You go out there tomorrow, any of you young fellas. And when I was a wee lad, I'd love to have a wee pocket knife. Still have a load of them. Better not say too much about them. But if you're caught out with a knife, sure you'd have a wee pen knife. It wouldn't cut butter, as they say. Police would have it at you. Go you and get onto one of them planes to go to Australia or America. And if you have a wee pen knife in your pocket, they'll rob it at you going through the checkout. They're not prepared to go with. But you can join a sack today and you can carry an 8-inch blade. And in the name of a false religion, you can run about with it with no license. And that young lad was stabbed into the heart and murdered. And the two boys were just like Cain. Oh, he abused us. Like Cain, wasn't it? Where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? They knew they had done the badness. I tell you, there's a day coming. There's a judgment, you know. There is a judgment. There is a place for the believer, for we'll have to answer to things as well. But it won't be a judgment on the death or separation. But there's a judgment for the world of separation, the second death. There'll have to be an account of it all given. And I tell you, this is Satan's Eden. You look at the way the world's run on the day. Look at families as well. You cannot live the way you used to live. Now you know I'm telling you the truth tonight. You cannot survive the day. If one person in the house goes out to work today, you can't live. You couldn't get by. You wouldn't have enough money to get by. That's the age we're living in. This is a rat race. We're living in a rat race. Now I don't want to get too off onto the wrong subject, but it's the truth. I want to tell you tonight, Jesus Christ is coming again. Luke 17:26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. You know, God in the 20th century, God absolutely sent a message. God spoke. God spoke clear. He even had his photograph took. The religious world missed it. They missed it. But there's people that believed it. And he's coming again. And I tell you, he's coming as a thief in the night. He's coming as a thief in the night. Do you realize he's coming as a thief in the night? Two will be in the bed, one will be taken and one will be left. Jesus Christ is coming again. And we want to be ready. We want to go But when one or two of your loved ones saved, it's a terrible thing, isn't it? So caught up with computers and games and garbage, pure garbage, that they have no time for God. And I tell you, the stuff that's out in them streets, and I tell you, people talk about years ago about temptation. I tell you, there's more temptation now than there's ever been. See, you have to understand, and I'm closing, brothers and sisters, but listen. You know, when the seals come out of that book, the prophet of God said there's more devils loose than this age than any other age. More devils loose than this age than any other age. Let's stand our feet. Christ's coming. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. Are you glad for the blood? One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. Thank God for it. Let's bow our heads tonight. And if anyone would want prayer of the night, or anyone would hear this message, and you're not ready, the Bible says in the book of Romans and the book of Acts and the book of Joel, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And if you're listening tonight, God wants to save you. All you have to do is repent of your sins and call on that name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift your hand tonight, anyone wants prayer, while every head bowed, every eye closed. And we're going to close tonight. And don't forget, we won't be here on Thursday, as the hall's already been pre-booked. But we'll be back on Sunday morning and evening, the Lord willing, and the Lord's always willing. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight for the word of God. Lord, we know we're living in the last of the last days. And you're coming again. You're going to catch your wedding bride away. Lord Jesus, we pray for our loved ones. Father, that you'll speak to them, that you'll move upon them. Help us to be more sincere. Help us to be men and women with lives worthy of the gospel. We would point others to Jesus Christ, to the straight and narrow way. Bless the hands that's raised tonight. Bless the song leader and the musicians. Bless every brother, every sister in this house, and those that couldn't be here tonight. Bless and strengthen, we pray. And Lord, keep us this week. Keep your hand upon each and every one of us. And watch over us. Keep us as the apple of your eye for your own people, Israel. We pray you'll bless them, strengthen them, hedge them in on every side. Lord, we know that you've told us there'll be wars and rumors of wars. And still the end's not yet. Help us to be that people with the lamps trembling, burning, as our brother Andrew preached just the other week. That we'd be filled with the oil of God and ready. Grant that, we pray, Lord, and meet every need in every home in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as a brother. Carey comes.
I'm trying to sing the hymn, "He Took My Place and Died for Me." Just not sure, Matthew, how the first verse starts. Pardon me.
A trembling.